You have tuned in to the Tommy Beaver. Do not attempt to change the channel, the pond water you are swimming in, for you are tuning in to episode 32.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Tommy Beaver. Coming to you today from Beaverton, Oregon, where it is mildly drippy and wet. Today, we also have...
Dave. Hola, people.
How's it going out there, Dave?
Good, Ted. What's up, bud?
I got my papers in hand. I feel all news nice. And professional-like in here today. I don't know why, but I do for some reason. Maybe it's because I have actual, like, printed-out shit in front of me. I'm standing up straight, which I never do. I feel organized. I don't know. How are you doing today, Dave?
Awesome. I'm doing great, Ted.
Right on.
Wonderful.
Yep. So anything big happening to you over the past 2 days?
No, nothing really. I'm still waiting for, you know, I think I'm moving to Bakersfield pretty soon for a job down there, and I'm just waiting for final word on that. But this morning and looked at Irvin, like, I checked the report last night. I guess there's like a groundswell that's moving in. It's hitting San Francisco really well right now. Like, they were saying, like, 60-foot and 8-foot plus spaces, and it was like a northwest groundswell.
It's totally gnarly. You just want to hit that.
Pretty much, but you know what I did? I got up at 6 this morning, and like, I'm like, all right, cool, you know, I'll go see what's out there. And I checked the report last night, and they said 1 to 3 foot, ankle to waist high, you know, nothing big, but nice and clean. So, and I wanted to hit it when it was low tide. So got out there this morning. I figured, you know, maybe I can get like a little, you know, get a little mooring session in, and bam, flat as
a
lake.
Are you serious?
So, yeah. And then I was
just
like, all right, well, you know,
it's nature. How does that feel?
Man, well, it was all right. I mean, it was beautiful out there. Like, I mean, it was cold this morning, and part of me was just happy that I didn't have to get out in that freezing cold water. But I mean, once you're out there, it feels great.
Oh, it's warm water.
You know, I got out there, I'm just like, you know what? You know, the water is probably like 50, between 52
that's
and 55
bad.
Out there.
That's doable.
It's not too bad, but yeah, but I've only got a 3.2. That's it. And I mean, you need like at least a 4.3 to go out in those conditions. So, but worst, the coldest I may have ever been in my life was one Thanksgiving. I came back to visit my parents, and I got up real early to go surf one morning for Thanksgiving. You know, Thursday morning
in November,
get in the water.
Nice.
In November, water temperature. Okay, air temperature is 50 degrees. Water temperature a balmy 49. I was just like, I got in the water. My feet were nothing. They numbed up right away. You know, just like I was trying to tough it out. And just like, I can't do this. I had to eat the whole way home. I was just blasting. I was.
You
I was
blue
icicle.
Lips.
But seriously, I mean, it was so
I wonder
cold.
If your testicles can retract all the way up into your body if it gets just that cold.
I think they could probably shrivel up, and you could, I mean, definitely have major
like
shrinkage.
Turn like purple, black, and blue, shrivel up, and just fall off in your seat.
Yeah. Oh, man, I wonder if that could happen. But yeah, you only have, like, you don't have much time out there if you're not burned up. Even if you're out in the water and you have a wetsuit on, you have only a limited amount of time before you can go into hypothermia, and I've experienced some of the couple initial stages of hypothermia before.
I'm sure it's not. Did you go out there with like the little wetsuit booties and hand gloves on?
Oh man, I didn't have booties. The day I went out, that was the water temperature 49. Like you could, it was like you could see your breath out there. It was like 50 degrees. So you could see your breath, and the water was colder than the air temperature. And obviously, it was a really really chilly day, chilly morning, and. I did not have booties, didn't have any hand gloves. I didn't have
a hood. Necessity number one that should have been for today was booties and gloves.
Oh man, no kidding. But it was so flat out there today.
Did you still go out?
And then
you
I called my friend.
Nope. No.
I didn't know it was out.
It was just
it was like seriously. No, it was so like I mean it was just like a it was like yesterday. I guess it dropped off considerably in the last couple days, but man, it's rare is the day where all of Santa Cruz is flat. Like, Sumner was flat, Twin Lakes was flat, like, River Mouth flat, everything was flat.
Damn.
So, yep, But next time I'll hit it, you know. I just want to do it before I go to Bakersfield, because, like, I'll be flying a lot because I won't be able to surf that much, so. But,
oh well. So be it.
Yeah, but, and but on the subject of extreme sports, like, last week, I don't know if you heard about this down up in Oregon, in Portland, but Johnny Mosley had a ski jump. Did you get to hear about that?
He ski jumped a hill in San Francisco?
Yeah, he and a bunch of his crazy friends.
Really?
Yeah, it was on the close off. It was on the Fillmore Street, for those of you familiar with San Francisco. And Fillmore Street is a pretty steep hill, and like, it was awesome though. Like, Rick and I went. Rick of Black Tiger fans.
Rick of Black. We got to play some more Kindred on show. One of his and K2.
Oh, we
got to get some K2.
Oh man, K2 blows doors.
Yeah, so we got to get some of that on here. You got to get the permission and music from them, man. And we'll do it, Dave.
Oh,
we'll
yeah, no worries. No, we'll do that. No, we'll definitely do it before numero 50. So, but the countdown's on. Magic number's what, 18?
Yeah, I think after today it's actually down to 17. But nobody knows about that yet.
Okay, so.
That is our... all crappy day treat for you guys being October. What else do we have? Oh, Dave, I got some literary fucking sick ass ghost stories here. These Emily found some sweet ghost stories of women who had sexual relations with ghosts.
What?
Yes, sexual relations, Dave. And let me tell you, ectoplasm was left behind.
Oh, man. Something's not right about that.
Well, I'll read one. I have two of them here, and I'll read one. Just to kind of get things going on, because we had some ghost stories last time about our experiences at KK.
Yep. And they were very, very, very tame compared to what we're
doing
here right now.
Oh, yes, they were very tame. But we're going to... Yeah, we still have that one out there, which we'll release around our personal story.
Yeah, and that one was. I mean, there's no explaining that one that we encountered.
Yeah,
so.
it was just a really crazy freak thing. But on to the sexual acts with specters and spirits of the night. All right. Miss June of Markey by Sea. Near Redcar, Yorkshire, England, a mature woman with a 10-year-old son became obsessed with her Ouija board. This led in turn to automatic writing. The entity she contacted before, a long-dead spirit called Orlando, he may be dead, but he still knew how to write a good love letter, Miss June claimed. He even claimed to have wanted to have a child with her. A few weeks after the handwriting began, Miss June saw a floating shadow above her bed, and she felt her bedclothes move. Orlando had arrived, and was, it seemed, ferocious over her use of birth control. She was quoted as saying, "I would feel his presence, even his length of feeling, that when he wanted to make love, he was a competent lover, and must have been on Earth as well. But human love was much more satisfying. With spiritual love, there is no warmth of flesh." So there you have it. Miss June apparently has indulged her beaver in a new, timely manner with Lorando, the spiritual ghost.
Wow.
Sorry, I read that quite poorly. Well, I will try better on the next one.
It's all right.
Was that competent it's reading, okay. Dave?
It was all right, Ted. I understood what you're saying. That woman's off a rocker.
I'll try to read the next one better. Would it help if I read it faster or slower or more cohesively?
I think that's a good pace. But yeah, that's definitely a good, like, you know, good yarn there.
Oh, good yarn. So I need to speed it up then.
No, yarn. Oh. Y-A-R-N, yarn. Like,
story,
it's like
got
a story.
It. Got it. I'm not quite on it tonight. I've had a couple beers. I'm feeling
no
good.
Worries.
That
no worries.
Stuttering,
but,
staggering, seeing what's going on.
Hey, that's that. I'll go to beer. par for the course with beer.
It helps lubricate my lips for the Timely Beavers, so I support beer, everyone. Beer.
Nice.
Make sure to drink a pint.
Well, here's another. Cheers to that, man. Well, here's another group of guys that like beer
here
too,
we go.
And
drink
they happen
a pint tonight.
What? Cheers. I'm just having water right now, but
yes, I should probably move on to that soon, I believe. So, in the meantime, while I go grab a glass of water, do you want to introduce tonight's guest, Dave?
Sure, I was trying to do that, Ted, and I'll do it again. These are five guys that like beer.
Oh, I was
from
bad.
The
so
them.
Bad, so bad.
I am killing me, Ted.
But they, go on, Dave.
They enjoy their ale, and they're from the Bay Area. They're one of our favorite bands. We listened to them when we were, you know, growing up around here. And these are, ladies and gentlemen, the Swinging Elders with Five Lessons Learned.
Sweet. I'm just going to intersplice that.
So that was the Swinging Elders with Five Lessons Learned.
Oh, I love the Swinging Elders.
I do too, Ted. I mean, that group.
Yeah, they are. I remember the first Swinging Elders album I had. It was gray. It was the Workers in the Coal Mine. I can't remember the name because I lost it.
Oh, really?
But I have Streets of San Francisco and
good. CD and Juvenile Project of Work Life, one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, hell yeah, that definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's funny because Rick's band, you know, my brother and Ted's friend, Rick, his band used to open with for Swinging Elders Day. And, I guess the guy that wrote the songs was basically, he's a major Tesla, I think, somewhere. And their songs were just, obviously you're hearing like the political undertones of all the songs today, like Green Band and other bands, but like these guys were some of the best. Like, I mean, back then, Swinging Elders were awesome, so they still rock today.
Yeah, they definitely do. And, oh man, there was that lady on the plane the other night.
It happened today.
It happened today?
Yeah.
I guess I'm not quite remembering my news right. Maybe you can fill me in a bit on this story, Dave. But this was pretty
sweet. Well, what happened was this woman got scooted off a Southwest flight as a bunch of people were complaining about her T-shirt, or more specifically, what her T-shirt said. And what it said was, had a picture of Condoleezza Rice, George Bush, and Dick Cheney. And instead of saying meet the Fockers, it said meet the Effers. So it's the
fuckers?
O. Yeah, the O was replaced with a U.
Yeah, meet the Fuckers.
Meet the Fuckers.
Meet the Fockers.
So I guess there's some Republicans on board or something, and like they, I don't know if they were worried about like the children or whatever, but they complained. She got kicked off the flight, and you know, there was a little big brouhaha about that. But the one thing I think most people are listening, know where I stand, and they know where you stand, because it's no mystery that we think Bush is an incompetent fool. And I mean, I have I don't have a lot of respect for Cheney.
Cheney's the white devil, man.
Seriously, I mean, I just don't like anyone in that administration. I think they're shady, they're corrupt, and they're enough.
Oh, I like Colin Powell. He was the only person.
Yeah, but even he kind of misled. I mean, you know, when he presented.
Well, he did, but I feel it was under pressure.
Probably.
Well, I'm not. Okay, no more politics for me. Keep going, Dave.
Okay.
Meet the fuckers.
Yeah, but like, so, I mean, again, this whole administration, I think, is just crooked. So she got booted off the flight. And brought up a discussion, or just sort of a dialogue of when are you protected by the First Amendment? And that is the big question. Are you protected by the First Amendment?
Well, they don't have to protect, because they are a private organization.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But, so the First Amendment protects us government censorship, but since Southwest is a private corporation, they are free to do whatever they like. Now, that being said, if Southwest said, I don't know exactly what the outcome was, and I think ACLU is going to interject here and you know, kind of go to bat for her, but I don't know what kind of case she's got, for one thing. I mean, maybe Southwest
under
money.
I don't think she has a case. But no, I mean, I would say that you'd have. Not sure. They can. It's kind of like we refuse the right for service.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, I mean, it's like McDonald says: no shirt, no shoes, no service. Kind of that same thing with Southwest. I mean, you know, people complain, and I mean, I know a little bit about flying. The captain has the final say on board the aircraft. And enough people say, you know, this is ridiculous. The captain does say, all right, you know, you can stay on the flight, or you can go change your shirt, or you're off the aircraft.
Yeah.
You know, he has that right to do that. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he felt like, you know, there was enough people that did not, that disapproved of that. And, you know, obviously, they can change your shirt. You know, I don't know if they banned her, if they kicked her off the flight for the rest of the night or what. But it left her in a weird position. But, you know, again, you got to be, right now, I mean, all this stuff with, like, kind of PC police. Especially in light of, like, you know, my home kind of spiraled with, you know, everything kind of spiraled out of control as far as, like, security and then, you know, customers and who's rights and so forth. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to take sides on this one, but I do wonder if there was any kind of infringement of civil rights on this case.
You know what it is, an infringement of civil rights, though, Dave?
What's that, Ted?
Not listening to the upcoming Megs list from the original Timely Beaver show.
Okay, well, let's make sure that we don't infringe on that civil right.
What was that?
Let's make sure we don't infringe on that civil right.
Yeah. Well, here comes Megs list from the original Timely Beaver, where she finds someone who wants to get rid of their industrial-sized paper cutter.
This is Things Found on Megs List. June 10th, 2005. I have an industrial paper cutter that I'm willing to trade straight across for a decent laptop. I need a laptop for school this fall. The paper cutter has a used retail value of $1,000 to $1,500 for the right buyer. See the below ad I've posted here on Meg's List right now. The laptop should be of comparable value, $800 to $1,200. Thanks. Triumph 3915 electric paper cutter with stand. I bought this paper cutter brand new in 1997. It is in excellent shape and has seen very little use. I use it to cut business cards, tarred for business cards. I bought it for a home-based business venture, which I never really got off the ground. Yeah, we see why. It has sat unused for the better part of 5 years. Based on internet research, this model retails for $3,000 to $3,400. Check the link below for one example that I found. I paid $29.95 for it in 1997. This is a real bargain at $1,500. Reasonable offers will be considered, no shipping. You must pick this item up. No out of town, money order, cashier check, inquiries will be entertained. This unit is heavy. I can help you load it on a truck, but you'll need at least one other person two if you have to navigate stairs to help unload. And again, this is Things Found on Migslist.
So civil rights, Dave.
Yes,
I have no civil rights. I signed them away when I started my job and
Isn't
signed
that true?
With my landlord. And
ain't that the truth? No, but like
signed a little pieces of it away. But I keep this tiny one here that I'm sharing with all of you.
Oh man!
That's
but
about
yeah,
all that me, all of me that's left.
Oh well, that's all right, Ted.
Oh man,
it happens. But yeah, so anyways, I was just kind of, I thought that would be really you know, interesting topic. Please, people, you know, if you have any kind of feedback, if you think one way or another, if you agree with us, disagree with us, please,
yeah, definitely
let us know.
And Emily is back from class today. She looks in joyous spirits, sporting the best new clothes on the market. Bye, Emily. And
I do.
Yes. Hello. Let's see here. Damn it. I just left my... Oh, today. I was walking. It was raining today. Let me start off.
Yeah.
It was raining.
Yeah.
Normal. It's winter now in Oregon.
Okay.
It felt more like spring.
It's rainy season.
It's rainy. It drizzles. You know, it's a little drizzly in Oregon between the time of October to March.
Yep.
For the most part, we have... several different things, and Emily was talking, and I could hear her, and it threw me off, so please forgive me as I start over again. But I was walking today, and there's this guy at the bus stop. I could not believe this. He had 40 of whatever malt liquor in his hand.
Yeah.
He was at the bus stop. He was just sitting there. It was like 5 in the afternoon. You know, I was getting home from work. He's chugging the brew like it's nothing, you know, out in the open. He sets it down. He turns around, whips out his dick, and starts peeing. And I thought to myself, what's he doing? And I kind of glance. I go, I just saw his dick in his hand. I went, huh. I don't know anymore. He just kept peeing. He got on the bus, and I saw another bus that was coming around the corner. I was like, I'll wait for the next one.
Yeah.
And I just sat there as he got on the bus and went off. And I was like, bye. I'll hop on this one. Shh. Oh, boy.
Oh, the board.
I got on. Whatever. I'm boarding a train now. But yeah, you get the general gist.
Yeah,
it
man.
It was very interesting.
That's
very,
pretty...
very, very, very interesting.
Yeah. That is
I've never seen a guy do that in daylight before. Just right out of bus stop with traffic around him all
just whipped it out,
5 feet away. Just whipped it right out.
That's not good, Ted.
It was kind of humorous anyway.
Yeah, but I bet that stuff... That kind of stuff probably happens in New York City all the time.
Oh, in New York City, I'm sure it's just like, oh, but at least they have alleys that you went to. They just don't pee right there in the middle of an intersection.
Yeah, you never know. But speaking of New York, yeah. are we up for another segment of one of our favorite bands?
I think so. You mean the Swingin' Utters? How can we forget about them?
We just can't.
All right. Definitely. You guys got to check out these guys when they come to town. I remember I wanted to see them in high school. I know they played probably at the Edge a few times. Man.
Yeah, they did.
Edge, Cali, back in those times.
Man.
And, but I saw them at the Venetian in Albany, Oregon, which is a really strange venue.
How were they?
They were awesome. Before them was the Pie Tasters. And,
really?
The Pie Tasters? It was pretty cool.
It opened for the Billionaires. Remember, did you go with me to that show? There was the Ricardos and the Kindred and who else played? Oh, Mr. T Experience, I think.
Oh, yeah, I remember that show.
And then we saw...
Yeah, Mr. T Experience. Are they still around?
Yeah, then we saw the Fury 66 at one time with Monkey.
Oh, yeah, Monkey. That was the band.
Yeah. Now... band out there, like the big one in the Bay Area, is the Life Jonas. I don't know if you've heard of them up there.
No, I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, they're getting kind of big. There's the old guitarist was, I think he was the guitarist Monkey. Rick knows him. So.
Oh, cool. Well, let's get back into the Swingin' Utters.
Sure, this is a great band. I've crossed this road before, for many years I'm sure. Don't recognize the faces of that pass me by. I've been on my way again. Like my
Yeah. Can't get enough of that.
I know. They are a good band.
They definitely are. Well, Dave, I wanna read you one more of these sexual stories here.
The ghost stories with a little bit of
an
NC-17 rating.
Fine for us.
I'd like to know where Emily found that story. You know, where did she type in, like, you know, like Iraq?
I'm sure it's out there. We're gonna be searching far and wide.
Okay.
But, anyways, this entry. let me take a sip of water here. I'm a little parched.
It's okay.
Oh, thank you, Emily. Emily came to the rescue because I'm all out of water. She's so nice. Mm-hmm. Definitely a true sweetheart. I'm gonna keep the water right here, hon. All right. See, she's taking part in my. She's taking part in my hobbies. Good girlfriend.
Thank you.
Budget, the B word. It's worse than bitch. It's worse than Bia's nachos. Biz not vodka.
No, there's a word worse than the B word. C word.
The
C-U-N-T-I-E. The countryside.
See what it means to me. Budget's worse than that one, apparently.
Which is?
All right. Budget. All right, we're deviating here. Let's get back on track. Ectoplasm in the uvula. Jenny Price, 20, of Shelby Lane. You already know it's fake. In Wynnendale, Birmingham, UK. How come these are all in the UK?
And I don't know.
Riddle me that, Batman. Riddle me that.
Look out, radioactive man.
Yes. Look out, radioactive man. Fallout boy.
My eye goggles, they do nothing.
My eye goggles do nothing. Now I hope the deadliest game of all. Man.
Okay. My mighty heart is breaking. I'll be in a Humvee.
Oh, let my muscles hug you. All right. Back to the
spooky ghost story.
All right. So, Jenny Price of 20 claimed complete satisfaction with her ghostly lover. Her family had known that the house they lived in was haunted, but had never told Jenny about it. The first approach was by the elderly daughter Lorraine, but it merely touched her on her shoulder. Then one night, while Jenny was sitting up in her bed, she felt an invisible hand wrap around her neck. With great strength, the hand pushed her down onto the bed. So frightened was Jenny that she couldn't scream. She thought the ghost was going to strangle her, but suddenly realized it had other intentions. Of the sexual nature, for those of you who can't figure it out. After that, she was afraid to go to bed in case attack was repeated. Yeah, right.
Dun, 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 dun.
But later that week, it was. She soon realized that the ghost meant her no harm. However, soon she started looking forward to his visits. They soon became a frequent place as of 3 times a week. For the past 3 years, the ghost was satisfying her, and still to this day he visited. The big problem was how to get Jenny out of bed, since she stayed there consistently, waiting for her ghostly lover. Her mother, Olive, tried to get in on the action. We're talking about a threesome, I think. Sleeping in Jenny's bed for a week, but the ghost never showed up for her. Thank you.
The vicar replied that ghosts probably weren't bothered with morals, so it was all right.
Thank you, Emily, for finding that lovely story.
I love that. Yeah, thank you, Emily.
So anyways, I think we're going to have to close the show up here. It's getting late and I need to get this posted and go to bed. But definitely check out the Swingin' Udders. They were brought to us by PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. And definitely go out and look at and see them live, get their shit. They're Swingin' Udders. SwingingUdders.com, also FatRecords.com. That's fat as in rec, as in chords. Get in contact with us. 206-222-2328. And for all your timely beaver information, timelybeaver.com and email us at timelybeaver@gmail.com. Yes. Have a great weekend, everyone.
So, Sue, the person who's been over here roasting the cherry bowl. Oh, man, where's this Scooby-Doo cuckoo there, or whatever they're called? Yeah, I know. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you?